Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, here you go, Joe. Let me pick it up where I left up. We believe there has been a concerted effort among Democratic operatives to do just that, infiltrate the GOP and run progressives as Republicans. Well, of course, they've been that way. They've been doing this for years. They're parasitical. We've said this for years. The Democratic Communist Party, they're parasitical. They infest, they get inside a healthy body, and they'll eat it from within. And they have patience, too. They have a lot of patience. They actually get in. Well, for example, you had on the board of Catholic Charities, you had a number of Planned Predator people who work for Planned Predators, okay? So they got on the board, and they're working from inside. They're eating it from the inside. They're destroying.
The Fabian Socialist Society, how they would plant people deep within organizations of education, government, philanthropic groups. That's why today every major philanthropic group, Tide, Foundation, Pew, Carnegie, they're all liberal because they had plants that worked their way up until they took control of these organizations. So that's what they're trying to do, is take control of a major part of the Republican Party.
Here in Ohio, Joe, I was on the board of Ohio Right to Life for 21 years, and then when the facilitators came in, a number of us, we left, and then what happened was Ohio Right to Life fought us, and we formed the Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee, and which is now the real pro-life organization. We're the major pro-life organization in Ohio, but they fought us. They fought against the heartbeat pill.
Well,
and so
it said the magic word, facilitators. Whenever you see that, you know these are operatives. These are trained people who take a group of people and guide and direct them and lead them to a predetermined outcome. That's what a facilitator is.
And so here,
people are trained professionals on how to lead a group to a predetermined conclusion.
This woman, Jordan, F-U-C-H-S, the Georgia Deputy Secretary of State, who leaked the phone call with President Trump and Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, is a former vice president of Landmark, Joe. Mm-hmm. Now, here, I'm just going to call her name Futches. Okay, I'm going to call her Futches. Lied about the phone call to the press, and then deleted the original audio file, which was later found by an investigator. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger was also represented by Landmark during his election. According to David Bell, around 20% of Raffensperger's donations came from out-of-state Democrats. In addition to the individuals listed in the Georgia Record piece, we identified another crooked so-called Republican connected to the Landmark communications on the likened and profile of Mark Roundtree, the president of Landmark Communications. Gabe Sterling endorses Roundtree for his work with political campaigns. See, President Trump was absolutely 110% right, everything he said about these people. Looking a bit further, we noticed that Sterling was a vice president at Landmark Communications in 2005, Joe. Now, across the country, we see so-called Republicans at top positions in states who do things that you would expect Democrats to do, not Republicans. Bills are pushed. You folks in Georgia, you better take a good look at who's at the top of your tree there, because the fox is in the hen house.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's going to get worse. I'm looking at an article where George Soros, that leftist billionaire, who just loves to control, he's the one who claimed to be a god. He's 91 years old. Last year, 2020, he put in 80 million in the election cycle for Democrats. Right now, he is putting in a new contribution of $125 million. This is just for the midterm elections. And he has set up a democracy pack and put his son Alexander in charge. He made it clear he expects this to keep on working far beyond the midterms.
Right now, Joe,
Mr. Evil putting in all kinds of money way ahead of the November election.
Right now, the Republicans National Committee has approximately 168 million. The Democrats are pretty close behind, even though, because of all these billionaires, you've got like a, you know, from Facebook and all of these Mark Zuckerberg and all these billionaires, these and Gates and Soros. Well, Soros, so they're only like a million behind the Republicans, and now you add what Soros put, that just about doubles.
125 million. The point, the reason I made such a big point of this, folks, long ago there used to be an old joke. There were three forms of communication. This is for older people. Telegraph, telephone, and that was a female, but...
Telewoman, I remember, yep.
We'll call it telefriend. And we don't have 125 million to match Soros. That's going to put the Dems ahead of the Republicans. What we can do is tell our families, tell our friends, tell your neighbors, coworkers, people at church, listen to this radio program, get out there and get involved. We have to fight this, and we can fight it by picking up, talking to our neighbors, making a telephone call, sending a text, sending an email. We will have to do the legwork, the groundwork, and we can win this, but you're going to have to get involved in work to counter all this money that people like George Soros are putting up.
Well, we're off to a good start, Joe. We're off to a good start, and I'll tell you why. There's a poll shows that 50% of the U.S. Voters, and I believe it's actually more than that, believe Joe Biden should be impeached. Okay. A shocking new poll this morning, this is this morning from Rasmussen, finds that 50% of Americans believe Joe Biden should be impeached. Well, there's a lot more stuff coming out on Biden. I mean, a lot more coming out yet.
Is there? Yes, there's a new book by Peter Schweitzer. And Peter Schweitzer's new book, I recommend this to everyone out there, Red-Handed, How American Elites Like Biden Get Rich Helping China Win. This new book, and in it he talks about how the Biden family has collected over $31 million from entities linked to the Chinese Communist Party, and most of the links are all with the Chinese military intelligence agencies. So that's in addition to, there was money that from the Ukrainian energy company and things like that, the mayor of Moscow's wife, $3.5 million. This was just from $31 million just from China. We've got a really corrupt...
The Chinese have come out, Joe. The Chinese have come out, and I watched them on national Chinese television saying, telling their people that we own them. We have bought all of the people in high places in America. Joe Biden has been bought and paid for. He's a bought and paid for, a puppet of the Chinese. He's been committing treason, selling America out. Bill Clinton sold America out. Hillary sold America out. And so we've seen this going on for years and years.
Well, I'm going to read a sentence that just made me sick. Marine General James Dunford, he was a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This is one of those people that is retired. He said, quote, he's talking about big tech. The work that Google is doing in China is indirectly benefiting the Chinese military. Then he corrected himself and said, frankly, indirect may not be a full characterization of the way it really is. It is more of a direct benefit to the Chinese military. One of our good conservative generals who was former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that Google is doing directly helping benefit the Chinese military. These liberals, these people are making money. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil, and they're willing to sell out you, your family, your children, your grandchildren for a little more power and a little more money, and this is a lot of our major corporations today.
All right. The results include 50% of black voters, 58% of other non-white voters, and, yup, listen to this, 34% of Democrat voters.
Wow.
Whether it is a dangerous open borders or the 2.5 million illegals allowed to cross the country in 1 year. You know, I'm going to stop here for a minute. I just heard today one of the spokesmen, the Biden spokesman, came out, and she was saying that we must help the Ukraine. We must bring aid because a country without borders isn't a country. You talk about
Nancy Pelosi was saying we need to send troops to defend the Ukrainian border, but she won't even supply money to protect our border.
See, to us, hypocrisy is a bad thing. You know, the Lord Jesus said, "Woe unto you, hypocrites! Woe!" To them, hypocrisy is something to be embraced. And I can tell you, Joe, where it tells you right there in Isaiah chapter 32 in the Bible, where it refers to the liberals as hypocrites.
Right. Very clearly.
Whether it's dangerous open borders, the 2.5 million illegals he allowed into across the country in 1 year, his disgusting withdrawal from Afghanistan, his record inflation, or his complete lack of morals, Americans have had enough. Joe Biden is a failed president who's trying to destroy the United States. Joe Biden is not a president. He is the resident of, and he is the enemy of freedom. American voters disagree with the Marxist communist and their attempts to destroy our history, our culture, and our economy. Back in September, 61% of the voters supported the idea that Joe Biden deserves to be impeached. Okay?
Well, I think I have one reason why. There's a new study out, a new report out. The Biden administration is making it easier for these illegal immigrants to seek legal services with the launch of their own the Legal Access at the Border program called LAB, Legal Access at the Border. And this program is going to launch in 7 border cities, San Diego, Calexico, Nogales, El Paso, Laredo, Brownsville, and Eagle Pass, all cities in which the migrant protection protocols was once enforced, and that was that old, you know, remain in Mexico policy. Anyway, they're providing all this legal aid, legal lawyers, to help provide assistance to fight any of the U.S. laws. So here's the government that's supposed to constitutionally support and defend the laws of the United States. They have created an organization to go send money and attorneys to help people fight the laws that are in place. This is Joe Biden. Now, if that isn't that's a little worse than hypocrisy, isn't it, Pastor?
Yeah, it is. But here's something that's just as bad, and we've said this before, and I know there's been a lot of, you know, I've been getting letters in the mail from Pence.
Oh.
And here, you know, to
like what you said, huh?
Well, no, I've been saying you got to help us. We got to fight back against these Democrats, you know. And here's what he did. President Trump, if Vice President Pence had absolutely no right to change presidential election results, how come Democrats and rhinos are trying to pass legislation to block it in the future? In other words, they're trying to pass legislation in the future to make sure that a vice president can't do the right thing.
Right. If it wasn't allowed or wasn't possible, then you don't need to make a law to say you can't do it.
Well, here we have this thing called the Constitution, and it shows you very clearly. Now, President Trump released a statement pointing out that recent events show Pence had every right not to certify the 2020 election results in January. Not only did he have every right, he had an obligation to the American people not to certify that. It was as corrupt and crooked as all as can be.
He was supposed to defend the laws and made it clear, and we had all these people had all this evidence that nobody wanted to look at. That's what Pence should have said. Hey, let's look at the evidence. Put it before Congress.
President Trump released a statement.
To do that.
President Trump released a statement here yesterday. I heard him say it, that there is now proof that Constitution allows for former vice president. Well, we had the proof. We had it then. Okay.
Yeah, we were talking about it long ago.
Mike Pence not to certify the corrupted 2020 election results on January 6, 2021. President Donald Trump claimed that the Vice President Mike Pence could single-handedly reject certain electors during Congress Electoral College certification process, turning up the pressure on him to help overturn the results of the election. The Vice President has the power to reject fraudulently chosen electors, Trump tweeted.
Right.
Pence, in his role as President of the Senate, is scheduled to preside over Congress certification of the results Wednesday, as was detailed by the 12th Amendment, but he can't intervene. This was false. He can't intervene in the process. This is what they put out. The law governing the certification process, the Electoral Count Act of 1887, specifically limits the power of the President of the Senate precisely because the President of the Senate had intervened in the count previously in 1857. After James Buchanan's win, the Senate president overruled an objection against Wisconsin electors who had been delayed in their certification process by snowstorms. One of the points of the Electoral Count Act is to constrain the vice president, given the earlier episode that makes it clear that he is a presider, not a decider, said former Federal Elections Commission Chairman Trevor Potter, president of the Campaign and Legal Center. However, Trump points out that Pence did have the right and even the duty not to accept the fraudulent results in the 2020 election. The evidence is that the current Senate is trying to pass legislation that would prevent a vice president from doing this in the future. So there you go. They're telling you that they're trying to make it the law because it is no law that he has the right. And Trump is 110% right on this. And, boy, it's just unbelievable. Okay, I got one more article, Joe, and I'll let you do it. Fauci is also involved in the ghoulish baby body part research. And you go ahead and do it, and then we're going to open the phone lines. In fact, the phone lines are now open. We'll let them load while you're doing the article. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Nationwide. One more time, 888-677-9673, nationwide. The phone lines are now open. Go ahead, Joe, take it away. Fauci is involved in ghoulish baby body parts research.
Way back when, there was David Daleiden of the Center for Medical Progress.
Daleiden.
Daleiden. He had undercover videos of interviews of planned predator officials who showed how they were negotiating the sale of tiny baby hearts, lungs, parts, etc. And this caused a lot of trouble, and he's been definitely in trouble, taken to court. It was a long, long story. In fact, even Harris, our vice president, when she was attorney general, issued search warrants to help go after him and cause him trouble. Anyway, the end result was that there were some scientists from the government took scalps of aborted babies, five-month-old aborted babies, and were stitching them to the back of lab rats to keep them growing. This experiment was paid for with a $500,000 research grant from the NIAID office that Dr. Anthony Fauci, the National Institute of Health, runs. They also were taking livers from five-month-old aborted babies to extract stem cells so they could be experimentally transplanted into adults. So these premature babies were, according now to the Center for Medical Progress, these babies were aborted alive, washed to keep them sterile, and then cut open to harvest the liver. That the pet scientist who invented this experiment received $3 million from the NIH, National Institute of Health. That's where Fauci again published his research showing he was using this technique back in Pittsburgh as recently as 2019. So this David with that medical action, or what's the name of that group again? The
David, the leading?
Center for Medical Progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have been fighting this and fighting this and trying to bring this truth. But the government documents that they've gotten, it Pitts advised them that this would be the best site for this grant because it could use labor-induced abortions where the baby is pushed out of the mother in a preterm delivery. In other words, they would be alive. This Dr. Pitts said it would track, record, and minimize the time the kidneys were disconnected from blood circulation. In other words, they wanted the babies delivered alive with a beating heart, and the babies were killed as the kidneys were cut out of them. And all again, the money and everything supplying these experiments came from Dr. Fauci. Mr. Fauci, I don't know, doctor is really, I don't even think we want to call him doctor. He is a ghoulish.
He's a beast.
Murderer. He's a beast.
He's a mass murdering beast. And Joe, let's, you know, we don't have to pray that all of these people involved, including the women that came and offered up their babies, deserve hellfire forever. They do. They're wicked as wicked, all of them. And you prissy preachers out there, just keep your mouth shut and go put your pink bloomers on. Anyhow.
And they're still doing it. In fact, they also found out one last thing, that the NIH grant money sends major kickbacks and medical resources back to planned predators. And in fact, Dr. Fauci's agency is responsible for over 60% of federal spending that has anything to do with using aborted baby parts. They are the biggest purchaser in the world of aborted baby parts.
Let's pray.
For tax money, folks.
Let's pray. And folks out there, join me in a precatory prayer. I need you to join me in a precatory prayer.
Yes.
Because these people are evil, wicked, and little children, innocent, are paying their price for their wickedness. Listen, there's power in prayer, power in prayer, power in prayer. And so, Father God, I would pray, Lord God, that you would do with these people just like you did with Manasseh. Lord, that you would cripple their hands, Father God. Of course, Lord, you know much better. Lord, that you would take whatever it takes, Father God, and put those people, let them show them the pain that they've inflicted upon the children, Father God. And I'm talking about all of them. I'm talking about the ghouls that have done this to the babies and the wicked women that offered up their children. Lord, that you could bring them, Father God, to their faces screaming for repentance, Lord. And if they refuse to repent, well, you know, you said repent or perish. So that's my prayer, Father God. These people are wicked, and there's so many out there wicked. I pray that you bring down the entire Democratic Communist Collective. It's so filled with pedophiles. It's so filled with child abuses. It's so filled with the most wicked and evil and ungodly people out there, Lord God. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And folks, remember, children were created, what? By God in his image, given to us to care for and to love. They were to be a blessing, not a research project to make money.
These people are animals, and Scripture says they're angels and are in the presence of God. All right, who did we have there, Andy? Kevin, you're in the air.
Yes, sir. Hello, brothers, Ernie and Joe. Good evening. Just actually two things. They're not going to take very long. One, you guys are up on so much, we can't even tell you any new information because you guys are smart. We have his son to worry about, George Soros, because he's grooming him.
Right, Alexander.
Yeah, and so that's one thing I wanted to put out there. And also, let's start calling out elections and raising a lot of money. Now, if a person running has the right values, what do we really need money for? Well, you pay your help to move your equipment. You pay for whatever room you're renting to put, to move your, to whatever trucks you have to get it there. You pay for your meals. You might pay for catering and have people, waiters and waitresses. And so, let's look at all the things. An honest campaign can be $10 million tops and maybe even have some left over. So this growing number of having to raise money every year keeps getting bigger and bigger. We have to call that out as evil, because what are you doing? You're buying influence? What is the reason for raising all this money? Can you guys talk to that?
Well, you know, there was just last election, there was some fellow, and I'm trying to remember what state it was, but spent like $100-something on his campaign, and he beat a lifelong Democrat.
Right, that was up in New Jersey. I can't think of his name, but it was a guy in New Jersey.
Who spent thousands and thousands, but he was so corrupt that people, you know, they didn't really vote for the new fellow because they didn't know him, but they voted against the Democrat. Yeah. And I think that's what you're going to see with Biden here coming up. But with a lot of these, this is why a lot of the Democrats are like rats jumping ship before it goes down. And they know that if they hang around and the Republicans win this, there's going to be investigations. So I think some of them are already been given the ultimatum, you know, either get out now while the getting's good, or we're going to come after you. So what do you think?
And that's what I sense, too. And let's also look at, you used to wonder, why do they campaign so hard and throw mud at one another? Why is that seat and that position so important to them? Well, word has it that, you know, when you get in, you can get a lot of money out of this. So they're running as politicians. There's two different types of people that run. People that run as politicians because they heard about the gold that's involved in it, and you have people who honestly have a heart for the country, and they're a true at heart Americans. So anytime Amen. You see, yeah, it's basically the mudslinging and all of that is like, oh, now we figure it out. Look at Nancy Pelosi. Look at all of them had gotten rich. So that's why they fight so hard. The mudslingers, that's happened. Word has it that you can get rich in this. So
that's it. Our corrupt government is why we're in such a mess. We've sold, America has sold its corporate soul and political soul for money. That's the whole basis. In fact, elections is a cottage industry. It's a huge industry. The TV and radio stations, all kinds of advertising dollars when it comes to elections. There's money there. There's all these attorneys and campaign managers and staff and people. There are a lot of professionals that do nothing but run campaigns. It's an actual industry, and then we really ruined things. It should have been one person, one vote, like here in Missouri. I should be able to donate to anything in Missouri, but why should I be able to donate there for a race in Ohio where somebody's running in a state I know nothing about? Money raised in Ohio should go to Ohio elections. We shouldn't have California money, New York money, George Soros money buying elections in a state. It should be money raised in the state for that state. If we kept it simple, we could clean it up. But we got dirty politicians that want to make more money, more power, and pay off all their cronies who are running campaigns, selling ads, and all the businessmen that want the extra ad money from the campaign, you know, all those ads that you hear every election cycle. So it goes back to the love of money is the root of all evil.
Joe, some years ago, back in the 80s, I remember we had an election. Well, and there was the new Congress was just in, and they were standing out. They were getting pictures taken and that, and two Democrats were standing there. They were both lawyers, and I remember who they are. I'm not going to say their names because they still have family. You know, these guys, I think both of them are probably dead by now. But anyhow, they were saying how one of them turned to the other after they were just elected and said, "Do you realize we now have a license to steal?" And that was overheard by the people standing behind them. And I remember that hit the papers. I got to move on, though, but thanks for calling in. God bless. Okay, we'll be back right after this and take some more calls. Coming right back.
The Pilgrims heard the to flee the persecuting powers that held England in her throes. In sailing ships they crossed the oceans wide to the land our God bestowed, to plant the seed of Christian liberty so that all the world would know. Prosperity and health. But the ancient powers that ruled the earth grew lustfully jealous of her wealth, and sent the British armies to make war with his Sons of Liberty, who placed their faith in God and by his grace fought and won the victory and proclaimed themselves, "We the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and establish rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny. United States of America, our God reigns and proclaims liberty. United States of America." Conspiracy unfolds in our nation's history, as the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty. And now this new world order marches in to make war within our land. And once again, Americans, it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves, "We the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
Yeah, you see that? We the people of the United States of America, we are the government, according to our Constitution, for the people, of the people, by the people. And who do we have next there?
Brian.
Brian, you're in the air. Hello, Brian. Brian, are you there? Brian.
Hello?
Brian.
Hello?
Go ahead, you're in the air.
Yeah, I have a question. It's not related to what you guys are talking about. Is that okay?
Yeah, I guess so.
There's a growing movement out there of, like, for instance, in Florida, there was, like, a whole busload of street preachers, and we're going to, like, this Gasparilla, which is, like, a sinful pirate thing they do down there with lots of people to preach to them, you know?
Uh-huh.
And they like, claim to be perfect, like they're not living in any sin at all, and they'll use verses like from 1 John where it says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. He that committed sin is of the devil." That Jesus said, like, "Be perfect as your Father is perfect." That Noah was perfect and David walked perfectly. And
it says, "Be holy." Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So, you know, when they're, like, preaching to people, they're calling them sinners, and the people go crazy and ask them, "Are you a sinner?" And they're like, "No, I have no sin. I'm, like, walking perfectly." So I'm wondering what you think about that, like, especially if somebody's feeling condemned for maybe some sin they're in, and they're, like, watching stuff for that, because that's not what I originally learned. You know,
okay, here, I'm going to make this very simple for you, because it's really not complicated at all in God's Word, the Bible. You see... Mm-hmm. The Bible says, number one, that when Christ died and he paid for our sins, he paid for our sins past, present, and future. Now, so what does that mean? Does that mean that we don't sin? No, not at all. Because when we sin, the sins are paid for, but there's always consequences to sin. There's always consequences to sin. In other words, so what's happening when they say that they don't sin? I got into a big debate with a fellow some years ago. He was a nationally known on the radio for many, many years, and he's dead now, and so I'm not going to go ahead and bring up his name, but he claimed he never sinned. Well, that's a sin in itself. That's a lie. Let me ask you this. If you don't sin, why should you repent of it? The scripture says when you...
So what they would say is that you maybe he paid for your sins past, present, and future, but if you don't repent of them, then you're not forgiven. And if you are repenting all the time, then you're not actually repenting. In other words, if you're doing the same sin every day and repenting again, that God's not actually going to forgive you for that.
Well, you see, that's the point. He deals with that in Hebrews chapter 12. The vast majority of people out there that do that, he says this. If in fact you are saved and you continue and you sin in a way which brings dishonor to God, he will chastise you even to scourging. That scourging is very, very tough. Now, he tells you if you're not being chastised, okay, then you're a bastard. And he's not dealing with you. So when these people that go ahead and they continue in their sin and they say, well, they're not really sinning or whatever, they continue. I remember a fellow some years ago. He was a comedian. He was a kind of a short, blonde-haired, pudgy-type fellow. And he was a well-known comedian. He was going out. He was making all the circuits, the 700 Club and Fox News, and his newfound faith, professing to be a Christian, this and that. And next thing you know, he's out involved in pornography. And so this guy was never saved, just like that fellow that made guy that was married to Jane Fonda, the movie producer. I'm trying to think of his name. Ted Turner. Yeah. Ted Turner had gone and he had promised Jerry Falwell he was going to give him his own television channel, his own network and all of this. And then so Falwell was out there telling people that Ted Turner was a gentleman and a Christian, this and that, because Turner had professed that he made. And then Turner came out and he was laughing. He said, shows you what a fool this Falwell is, what fools these Christians are. They'll believe anything. And he made a mockery out of that. And he made a mockery. Ted Turner, unless he repents, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, he's in for an extremely rude awakening. Okay,
so I understand what you're saying about, like, the chastising if you're a son or whatever. So now what would you advise somebody, like, let's say somebody would be afraid to die. They're afraid they're going to go to hell, even though they know they were saved. They know they had, like, a life-changing experience and they were changed, but maybe they've fallen back into some sin and they're feeling like condemnation. What would you advise them?
Well, you can't lose your salvation, okay? So what I advise them to do, exactly what the Lord Jesus says, repent. Okay?
Take it to the Lord. He says take everything to him in prayer, because what Scripture said, he is quick to forgive.
Right.
And he knows that as long as we are in this flesh, in the earthly body, we will sin. Even if we've already been born again or saved, we will sin by our thoughts or words or deeds or whatever. And all we have to do is go to him and say, oh, I messed up today. Lord, I'm sorry. I did this, and I'm sorry. And then you are forgiven. And it doesn't mean being a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. We are sinners who are saved by grace, by his grace. And all we have to do is take it to the Lord.
All right, very good. Kevin, I got to move on because there's so many. But listen, you cannot lose your salvation. And what's happening, if they're coming under conviction, that's the Holy Ghost doing that. And the answer is repent.
Yep.
All right, who do we have next? Oh, we got our co-host is here.
Uh-oh.
Clifford.
Yeah, hello?
Hello, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, Joe was mentioning this book, Red Handed, by Peter Schweitzer. It's actually available on the audible.com.
Okay.
For like $19. And I like having this particular book read to you because of all the Chinese names. But when you mentioned Google, that statement, apparently they're doing it under the guise of academics, which may be partly valid in China, where they have an AI center in China in conjunction with China Google, but it could have military applications.
They are using it, yeah. They have all kinds of little things that they've made deals with the devil on these things. Most of our major companies have made compromises with them. And just remember the word dual-use technology. There are so many things that can have two applications in one, and that is the key to understanding that Google mess.
Yeah, a couple of tidbits I thought were interesting. One was Trent Lott said, now he's working for the Chinese, but he originally said, my vote isn't for sale, but it may be for rent. And another one that was interesting is Hunter Biden, actually, according to this book, was in conjunction with the Chinese going to buy out the rail system in Greece. Now, it fell through. France did it. But that's interesting that Hunter had so much clout with the Chinese firms he was with that they were going to actually purchase.
He was working with some of the richest business people in China, and they were, again, backed by the Chinese military. He was a puppet, and they had the money.
Oh, and Joe, another book that's on Audible that just came out, apparently, is The Man Behind the Curtain, and it's on George Soros. So you can pick up some good information on that. But one of the things they said is he actually donated $5 million that guy Kavanaugh, you know, to make sure that he wasn't confirmed. So he put up $5 million to. You wonder if some of that went to the witnesses, like Blasey Ford.
Yeah.
So,
alrighty.
I wonder.
Yeah, Cliff, I got to move on.
That kind of money for nothing.
Thanks for going. The board's lit. Okay. Let's see. Who do we have next? Joe, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Ernie.
Hi, Joe.
I know nobody knows the date or the time, but do you think the tribulation will start in 5 or 15 years, and will the Antichrist reveal himself a year or two before the tribulation?
Well, I think what we're seeing now is the time of sorrows. Everything that's happening out there, which is the prelude to the start of the tribulation period, or another thing is called birth pains or the evil day. So we're there with it's called that. So the tribulation period, you know, it could start any time, but it'll be you'll know when it starts because the church will be taken out of here first. And I know there's a lot of people that don't understand that, but you see, everything has a purpose, you know, like Solomon said. For example, do you think that all the saved, born-again believers are going to hell?
I think the born-again believers are going to heaven.
Right. You see, that's why there's a purpose of being born again is to go to heaven. Now, you see, there's no purpose for the church to go through the tribulation period at all. The purpose of the tribulation period is the purification of the nation of Israel, the wife of God, and the unrepentant Gentiles, okay? So that's the purpose. So there's no reason or no purpose at all for the church to be here during the tribulation period.
Will Antichrist reveal himself a year or two before the tribulation?
Well, see, that's a possibility. Like I'm saying, you know, I believe, you know, there's a lot of candidates out there, and I've said this myself. According to what you take from the Word of God, what we know about the Antichrist, in my opinion, Obama at this point would be the best candidate. It makes it clear the Antichrist is a Gentile and the false prophet is a Jew, okay, or at least a false Jew. And the false prophet gives the power to the Antichrist. Now, there's a lot of reasons why I say Obama. His name is even in Scripture. But Obama, out of his own lips, said that he was getting his power from George Soros. And so, you know, that's a very good example. But there's a lot of other reasons why, in Scripture, to me, that Obama fills the bill. But that doesn't mean, that's my opinion, that doesn't mean he is, because he could be a type or a shadow of the next Antichrist.
Jesus loves you, Pastor Ernie.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I bet he loves you, too.
Thank you.
All righty. God bless. Who do we have next there? Nathan, you're in the air.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I'd like to challenge you and anybody, everybody, to get your news from the Congressional Record. And this is what I have seen. In 1970, when they passed Title X that funds Planned Parenthood, 298 Congress people voted for it, 32 opposed it, and then it was 100-0 unanimous. We see that. I've seen that same thing coming all the way up. A lot of people missed this, but Ted Cruz did a 21-hour, 19-minute fake filibuster on September 25, 2013, and they voted 100-0. And then 2 months later, he's on CNN with Cuomo fighting him over this. They're playing a game. They're the two parties is one party, and they got me and you down here, Democrat and Republican, fussing with each other, but they've got us divided. And I can send you the record. I know you don't have an email, but if you can get me an email or an email that I can send it to, that they can forward it to you, I can send you this. And, sir, I'm willing to bet my finger on it.
Well, let me tell you, we have six people that spend their time researching this stuff and getting me. Now, we do have an email. It's wrwlministries@gmail.com. Listen, it's wrwlministries@gmail.com. But we get between 600 and 800 emails a day. We get between 600 and 800 a day. Now, a lot of people wondered why I didn't answer their email. Well, it's because if I did answer that, I would do nothing else all day long, not even eat, not sleep or anything, but answering emails. And so that's the reality. But we do look, believe me, Joe telling, we were on top of those congressional records way back. Joe?
You might have more time to find some than that we've missed, but we do check a lot of those and have reported on different votes like that in the past.
Yep.
So we do try, but remember, we're all volunteers, and we don't get everything, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Who do we have next? We got time for this, the last one. Oh, no, we don't have time for anybody, so... All right, Joe, you've got almost 5 minutes now. Okay,
all
so
right.
Go for it.
I want to start with, there's been a new commercial on TV where they play that music to Cheers. You know that song, Sometimes You Want to Go Where Everybody Knows Your Name?
Yeah, well, now I remember. Yeah,
I changed the wording a little bit. The place you want to go where angels know your name and the saints are glad you came. And then there's a little bit in between, and it ends with, you want to go where everybody knows your name, but I go like this. You want to be where Jesus knows your name. Revelations chapter 2, verse 17, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone is a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. When you get to heaven, you get a new name, your name by Jesus. So you definitely want to be where Jesus knows your name, because he's the one that gives you the new name. For the new born-again believer, that new creature, that new creation in God, we just know from Scripture, God's Word, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That comes from Romans 10, verse 9 and 10.
We have to call upon the Father. We have to confess our sins. We have to truly repent, be sorry that Jesus had to go to the cross, take our place. He took my place, your place. He went and paid the price for our sins, for those who would accept his sacrifice. We have to be willing to accept the sacrifice he made. So we have to be willing to call upon the Father. We have to be willing to confess that we're a sinner, that we need a Savior, that we're sorry for our sins, that our sins put Jesus on the cross. And we have to believe. We have to have the faith that we're going to be saved, that God is good for his word, because it said, in the heart, man believeth what is unto righteousness and our confession. So he tells us then in John 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We, if we're born again, we will have a rebirth and we will have everlasting life. We have God's word on it. So it's a decision we have to make. Are we willing to commit ourselves to Jesus? That ask him to be Lord of our life. That's all of our life without reservation. It's a big thing to ask. It's not a simple thing. And we have to truly repent, realize that we have sinned and sinned the penalty of what? The wages of sin, God said, is death. So if we confess and we ask Jesus then to come into our heart, to give us the Holy Spirit, that down payment on his promise of everlasting life, then we become that new creation, a new creature. We become a child of the kingdom, a son or daughter of the living God, and we will look forward to that when we get to heaven, he will give us to eat that hidden manna. He will give us that white stone, and on that stone our new name that we will have for eternity, the new name to go with that new person that we become, the new creature that we become. This is the decision that all men will make. It's the most important decision of your life. More important than who you marry, what you do, what children you have.
Yeah, you'll never do anything that even comes close to meaning as much as that. Now, that's a reality. And again,
amen.
And the thing of it is, the Lord looks upon your heart. So when you say in that prayer, you really need to realize that he suffered far beyond your ability to even realize the pain. When God turned, the Father turned his head away from him, that pain was so bad, because God can't look upon on sin without punishing it.
And
anyhow,
that sin that Jesus had on that sinless, spotless
Joe, soul. Until tomorrow, we got to say good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
That's the sound of me prepping dinner with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of my family having more time around the table.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.